Hey, welcome to the Faith NFM podcast. We appreciate your time today, and we encourage you to head on over to faithnfm.com, where you can find the notes for this presentation, as well as links to all that's happening around Faith Assembly. Our hope is that this message helps move you forward in your faith journey.
Every Easter, we send out a survey. We ask you, hey, what are some things you'd like us to teach about? What are some things you're struggling with? Maybe help navigating. What's the Bible say about maybe that topic that you're kind of going through? And the number one topic that came through is this topic on forgiveness. It was interesting because when we started looking at this Easter survey and we added forgiveness this year as one of the last items that someone could maybe check. And so we kind of thought that was fascinating that, hey, one of our teammates were like, hey, what about forgiveness? That a lot of us struggle and have some questions about forgiveness. How do we navigate forgiveness in our life? Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul puts it this way. He says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Turn to somebody, your right or left, and say, you are forgiven. Because we know they're going to cause some problems in your life later. So let's just get a jump on it. But let's be honest with ourselves. How many of us have ever struggled to forgive? Come on, raise your hands. We've struggled to forgive, right? Let's start with ourselves. You ever struggled to forgive yourself? Yes. Like, Pastor Blake, why did I, like, I tell myself, Blake, why did you open your mouth? Like, that's a conversation I have with myself at least once a day. Like, why? Why did I say that? Like, foot and mouth, right? You ever struggle to forgive yourself? Or maybe your friends, you struggle to forgive your friends, right? Like, oh man, they went out, they didn't invite me. Oh my goodness. Like, what are they doing? They don't call me anymore. And you get mad, you get frustrated. Or maybe you got that ex in the place, right? And they dumped you, and you're like, dude, I hope they get in a car wreck, but I hope they get a little hurt, not too much hurt, but enough to like really total their car. And you know, like we struggle with forgiveness. It's all around us. Like maybe in your parents, like you struggle to forgive your parents, and you go through it. Like handling forgiveness, navigating forgiveness, being willing to forgive someone is challenging and it's hard. And here's the reason why, if you're taking notes with us, is because forgiveness is not a part of our human nature. Forgiveness is not a part of our human nature. No one wants to forgive. No one wants to give grace. No one wants to give mercy. It's not a part of who we are intrinsically. I love how King Louis put it, the 12th. He says this. He says, nothing smells so sweet as the dead body of your enemy. Like some of us are thinking, yeah, that's right. But here's the thing, like a lot of us, we challenge with that because here's the thing. We are conditioned to live by a term of score over terms of grace and mercy. We're conditioned to say, hey, you did that to me, so I'm going to do this back to you. We're conditioned to think eye for an eye. We're conditioned to say, hey, you treated me wrong, I'm going to treat you wrong. Sometimes, I don't know if you ever had this encounter with your spouse, married people in the house, and it's like there's one thing that you asked them to do and they didn't do it, and you're frustrated. You come home and then you're like, why did all these 20 things and you couldn't do that one thing, right? It's like, here, let me pad my resume and you have this one thing that you're obligated to do. Or hey, you treat my kid that way, I'm going to treat your kid that way. Like, hey, we struggle with that. It's very real because we don't think in terms of grace and mercy. We are conditioned to be like, hey, scoreboard, I did this over here. My piggy bank is going up over here. Yours is shrinking like this. And it's very challenging. It's hard to navigate in life. Forgiveness. For sure, forgiveness is difficult for any one of us in this place to handle. See, for some, forgiveness seems impossible. You're in this place right now, and you've had some things really happen to you that, man, no one deserves it. No one deserves it. Maybe you had a spouse step out on you. Maybe a coworker stole your idea, got promoted. you missed out on the opportunity. Maybe someone abused you at a very early age, and there's no forgiveness, and you're wrestling with how can I forgive someone who would do such an atrocity to me? Maybe a parent let you down, didn't protect, didn't guide, didn't provide you for you in life. See, my challenge is, and I want you to hear me, is this. I haven't walked in your shoes. People haven't walked in your shoes. But I want to encourage you. Learn to forgive. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. I think Jesus sets the example for us. He sets the ideal extremely high. It's Jesus. He's perfect. But he calls his followers to be forgivers. When Jesus is nailed to the cross, he has been abused, he's been mocked, he's been ridiculed, he's been spat upon, scourged, humiliated, ran out there beaten, thorns pressed on his head, and he's hanging on the cross. And in Luke 23, 34, some of his final remarks that he says this, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." They don't know what they are doing. Some of the hurts that we faced in life, and that we will face in life, people are consumed with pride, selfishness. They don't know the pain that they are inflicting on you. I think Jesus nailed it right on the head when he says, they don't know what they are doing. You know, rather than Jesus looking at the score and saying, look what these people do, I have all these angels at my beck and call. I can call them and they can come down and the armies of the Lord can wipe away all humanity. What's he say? He says, forgive them. And when you put that in perspective, it's whoa. Forgiveness is huge. It's essential. See, here's why it's essential for us, because when we refuse to forgive, we won't be forgiven. When we refuse to forgive, we won't be forgiven. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. I think that's important for us to understand in the context of where Jesus is teaching that. He's teaching on the Lord's Prayer, something that he would encourage his disciples to pray every day. So in other words, forgiveness is something we are supposed to have and be able to do every day. And that's tough. We don't like to forgive. We like to hold a vengeance. We like to hold vendettas against people because we feel hurt, we are mistreated, we are misused, and it's not right. But Jesus says it is essential that if you want to be a disciple, you have to take that in and be willing to forgive. Forgiveness is a lot easier saying and talking about than actually doing. Can you agree with me on that? So Jesus gets asked in Matthew chapter 18, how to become the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And he goes through all these different principles. And he goes through these different things, and he gives some parables. But then he comes, and it's interesting because he talks like, you got to be like a child. And it's interesting. You ever see children? You know, something's wrong with a kid. You know, they cry. They feel like the world's, you know, like blown up. Like someone took my toy. Like I got four little ones. And when someone steals, and they start crying, and they weeping, and they're like mad and angry. And they're like, hey, you need to go say sorry. And they're like, okay. They say, hey, sorry, you're forgiven. And it's like, they just quit crying. You know, it's in a sense very being like childlike when Jesus is teeing up, when the disciples ask him, how do I become rich or how do I become great in the kingdom of heaven? He's like, you got to be willing to understand that we have to have forgiveness like children. It's kind of like, you know, humbling when Jesus uses that illustration. So I want to invite you, join me, Matthew chapter 18. We're looking at this parable of the unforgiving debtor. Verse 21, then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me seven times? Now, this is an important question because traditional Jewish rhythms were like, hey, three was kind of the max amount of times you were required to forgive somebody. So Peter, who is bold enough to ask the question, how much should I forgive someone? He actually gives a lot of a generous kind of, he's trying to be like, hey, Jesus is good. I'm going to show Jesus I'm pretty good. I'm going to ask, hey, Jesus, 7, that's a pretty hefty time. That's double the amount of time that we're supposed to. They grew up in that Jewish culture. They grew up in this time. And Jesus responds, he goes, no, not even 7 times. Disciples, they're blown away. What? Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. 490 for all the math experts right there. So like we got to calculate it. Forget that person. 490 times. I hope you have your tally. No, Jesus is using, that's a very figurative number where it's very like as big as possible. And then Jesus goes in this parable. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with the servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of the debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. It's important detail right there. One of them was brought in, meaning there is numerous people who were in debt. One of them was brought in who had owed millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to paid debt. That was a part of the custom then, Jesus speaking into. Disciples continued to sit there, but the man fell down before his master and he begged him, please be patient with me. I will pay it all. Then his master was filled with pity for him and released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little while, for a little more time. Be patient with me, I will pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor couldn't wait, and he was arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were upset, and they went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man and that he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servants just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he could pay his debt and his entire debt. Verse 35, that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. That's what will happen to us. That's alarming. How do we become great in the kingdom of heaven is being able to be people who forgive. Before we dive into to wrestling and kind of exhausting that out, first I want to begin with what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not excusing. Forgiveness is not excusing. I don't know if you ever had these scenarios happen. We have small kids, and sometimes we'll take a flight, and if you're in a flight, and you're in that little tin can, and you're going 30,000, if you have a baby next to you, people look at you real funny, and they're like, oh no, I got the baby. They're going to be crying. It's going to be very loud, and you can almost see. Like, I kid you not, some of the grumpiest people I've ever met in my life is when I'm flying back into Fort Myers, and we're sitting next to them with a baby. They're like, better keep that kid quiet, son. And I'm like, hey, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. But so what we do is say, hey, we're sorry, we're sorry, we're sorry. And they're like, okay, it's okay. Like, you're forgiven already. And we kind of use it as a way to, like, excuse certain things that happen. And we look at forgiveness where it's like, you know what? I'm just going to forgive you. But here's the thing. In life, you're going to be given some things that might seem like a sin to you, an offense to you. And you might say, well, I forgive that and make it kind of like an excuse, make it doesn't like really matter. But listen, forgiveness isn't excusing something. Sometimes you're going to be throwing curveballs in life. Sometimes there's just going to be some situations in life where, you know what, it is what it is. And sometimes we use forgiveness as a way to just kind of excuse things. Forgiveness is also, forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not forgetting. I think a lot of times we think that, hey, if I forgive someone, I got to forget something. In this parable, we see that this king remembered that he forgave this servant. He forgave his debt, and he remembered what he did for him. Forgiveness is not forgetting the past. My wife, I have these Cincinnati Bengals. I got three cups that are essentially used in my life. I got a coffee cup. I got like this mason jar mug that I fill up every day for when I wake up first thing. And then I got a Cincinnati Bengals glass. So like when I come home on a Sunday and it's afternoon nap time, I pour a little something in my cup and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to celebrate. Well, this one particular time, my wife is doing the dishes. And I hear this, psh, favorite cup. Like I got it from the homeland of Cincinnati, Ohio. Like it was like China, then Ohio, and then back, right? And I'm like, it's my cup. And I'm like, how could you? Like if you saw me that week, I was like, Brittany, you did something so evil. But you know what she doesn't do now? She don't wash any of my cups anymore. No, you know? Like that's my cup. Like, don't touch it, because I'm not going to forget. You know, you got skillet on them hands, you know? Like, forgiveness isn't forgetting. Forgiveness isn't necessarily reconciling. Forgiveness isn't reconciling. It's been said it takes two people to reconcile, to restore a relationship. It only takes one person to forgive. I want us to understand that, because a lot of times in our minds, we think forgiveness means things get back to where they once were. That's not always the case. I've counseled, I sat with people where they've had some trauma in their life, some hurts, some pains in their life, and they come and they say, Pastor Blake, like I can't make things right. And what the hangup is maybe that loss of that person. Maybe they moved away. Maybe that person doesn't want to make things right. Maybe that person is deceased. And so they have this childhood trauma and they can't make amends with this person that they have lost. So forgiveness isn't necessarily reconciling. Forgiveness is forgiving. It's a one-way street. So forgiveness is not excusing things. Forgiveness is not forgetting things. Forgiveness isn't necessarily reconciling things. So let's talk about it. When I'm struggling to forgive, what do I need to do? When I'm struggling to forgive, one, I need to remember how I have been forgiven. Everything takes perspective. If you can fight for the right perspective, you can have a clear understanding of where you are presently at. Everything takes perspective. Everything takes a time to remember just how I have been forgiven. Jesus uses the word talent in this parable. Now, in the New Living Translation, we see millions of dollars. That's the word. It's the different Bible translations help us to understand scriptures a little more clearly in our common day language. But in Jesus, and many, uses the word talent. This word talent is equivalent to a 20-year working man's compensation. So Jesus doesn't say one talent, but what's he say? He says 10,000 talents, millions of dollars. Some theologians would even say, hey, it's really more accurate to say $7 billion. So this is what kind of debt this man is in. The guy owed 10,000 talents, billions of dollars. Out of the four Roman provinces, Idumea, Samaria, Galilee, in Judea, all together, they would contribute to the Roman Empire approximately 900 talents annually. So it's essentially taking Florida, California, New York, and Texas, saying, hey, we're going to pay our debts off in certain ways, which that's funny because, you know, America in debt, right? Like, woo, hey. But they would do that. And so it'd take these regions, these provinces, approximately 11 years to pay off the debt. Millions of people couldn't handle the debt. In essence, what Jesus was saying when he says 10,000 talents is what this person owed the king was costly, was a number in this Greek terminology that was at the limit of Greek language. So when we say billions and billions and billions of dollars and trillions of dollars, that's putting our numerical system all the way up to infinity where someone can't even attest. That's essentially what Jesus is saying. This number is so far out there, this man was forgiven by. Couldn't handle the debt. And I think it's important for us to understand where we're at in this story, where we're at in this situation. You and I owe a debt. You and I are this person who owes the king. And we have a responsibility. Either we can look at people and say, hey, I forgive you. Hey, I understand where you're at. I've been given mercy. I've been given grace. My debt has been wiped clean. Or we can say, hey, you owe me that $50 and I'm going to grab you by the neck for that hurt you've caused in my life and I'm going to be evil with you. It's a choice that Jesus is challenging his disciples. Man, I get inspired when I come across some of these stories. This is Shannon Etheridge. You can see a picture of her. She was 16 years old when an act of forgiveness changed her life. Driving to high school one morning, Shannon struck and ran over Marjorie Jartzfer, who was riding her bike. Marjorie died, and Shannon was found completely at fault by the authorities. Consumed by guilt, she contemplated suicide but never took her life because of the response of one man, and that man is named Gary, Marjorie's husband. Gary forgave the 16-year-old and asked the attorney during the trial to drop all the charges. This saved Shannon from an almost certain guilty verdict. Instead, Gary simply asked Shannon to continue to follow in the godly footsteps of his wife, Marjorie. You can't let this ruin your life, is what this man told this young 16-year-old girl. Now Shannon has her own ministry. She's an author. She's a speaker. She's serving Jesus because this act of forgiveness changed her life. It's important when we understand when it comes to forgiveness and mercy, it's going to cost somebody something. It costs the king something to forgive 10,000 talents, to forgive millions of dollars of debt. It cost him in his pocketbook. It cost him in his maybe authority. It cost him. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a pastor, theologian who lost his life at the hands of Nazis, says all forgiveness is a form of suffering. All forgiveness, someone must suffer. Either the other person, there will be a form of vengeance, or the suffering will be in the form of forgiveness. Look, it's clear for us to understand here today that Jesus paid our debt through his suffering. Jesus said, hey, you owe $1 million. I'm going to forgive you that. You owe billions. You owe, but I'm forgiving you for that. We have a debt. It cost Jesus. We've been forgiven. Jesus paid it, church. So whenever you're struggling to forgive, it's important to remember that list that you have going on in your life of the grievances you call somebody, the words you've said something, the acts that you did. Maybe you've hurt somebody and it is just gripping you in your life and your heart right now and you can't handle it. You can't navigate it. You don't know what to do. Jesus comes in. He says, hey, I forgive you for that and you need to remember that. And it's important we have the right perspective and we remember how we've been forgiven. Secondly, when I'm struggling to forgive, we need to ask God for supernatural help. Ask God for supernatural help. You can't forgive on your own, especially when it's real offenses in your life. Psalms 54:4 says this, behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. Forgiveness is not easy. Forgiveness is painful. Forgiveness is emotional. It's physically impactful. Forgiveness is challenging. Examples of extreme forgiveness we find in the Bible when we look at this man by the name of Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his own brothers, who was betrayed, who spent time in prison. How did he get past that? Supernatural help of God in his life. David, who ran for his life from the king Saul. How did he move past that and not want to harm Saul? God's help. Stephen, the very first Christian martyr we find in Scripture. He says this when he's being stoned, when he's being pegged by stones. He says, Lord, don't hold this against them. Forgiveness, it's essential. You need God's supernatural help to move through it. Because see here, it's important for us. Your ability to forgive will be very correct, very correlated to your ability to follow. If you can't forgive, you can't follow. This is Mary Johnson and O'Shea Israel, founders of the Forgiveness Project. Mary Johnson's son, 20-year-old Larian Bird, was murdered by the 16-year-old O'Shea Israel in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Simply put it, Mary hated him. Couldn't stand the murder of her child. She says this, "Here I was, a Christian woman, full of hatred. I was so pleased he was going to be tried as an adult for first-degree murder. In court, I viewed O'Shea as an animal, and the only thing that kept me from going was being able to give her victim impact statement. I was inspired by my faith, so I ended up saying I'd forgiven O'Shea because the Bible tells me to forgive." But then when O'Shea's mother gave her statement, she asked us to forgive him, and Mary said she thought I had, but she actually hadn't forgiven him. The root of the bitterness ran deep in her life. She said the anger set in, bitterness set in. She goes, "I hated everyone. I ruined relationships for years. I remained like this over and over in time." And she drove many people away because of the hurt of losing her child to this man who murdered her son. She said, "God eventually pressed upon my life to visit O'Shea in jail. They met for about 2 hours, and as Mary saw, O'Shea was genuinely sorry. O'Shea received Mary's forgiveness, and at the end of the meeting, he asked if he could hug her. They hugged. When O'Shea left the room, Mary bent over, almost losing her breath, weeping bitterly, saying to herself, I just hugged the person who murdered my son." She said at that moment, she felt the Holy Spirit descend on her life, forgiveness rushed through her body, and she came to a point where she truly forgave the cruelty of the crime. O'Shea was released from prison after 17 years sentence. Being moved by Mary's forgiveness, he turned his life around. Now they lived in the same neighborhood. They started a nonprofit called the Forgiveness Project, helping families recover from situations similar to theirs. See, you don't go through a tragedy like this without God's supernatural help. You can't forgive some of the hurts in your life without God's supernatural help. You got to be like, "God, I need you. God, I praise you. God, come into my life. Give me your Holy Spirit. Do a work in my heart and my mind and my soul only you can do." In Romans chapter 8, 26, I think sometimes we only look at it a certain way, but this is a great way to look at it when it comes to forgiveness. And the Holy Spirit helps us in weakness. For examples, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. There are times in my life I look back and I was hurt and pained. People said things, people did things. They've hurt my wife and my family. And there's times I wake up and pray like, "God, I don't even know what to pray right now. Holy Spirit, just use me as a vessel of communication." You have to remember, and we also have to ask God for supernatural help. Thirdly, when I'm struggling to forgive, view forgiveness as a part of who I am. I like to say forgiveness is who we are as Christians, but it's also what we do as Christians. Hebrew name Yahweh Hasid means God of forgiveness. It's a virtue, it's a trait of who God is. It's a virtue, it's a calling for who he wants his people to be. See, forgiveness cost this king a lot of money. It wasn't easy to forgive it, but he did. Because forgiveness is who he is. You know, a lot of times when it comes to forgiveness, I got this little jar up here, it has some coins in it. A lot of times we like to think of forgiveness, hey, I'll just stroke a check, or I'll just give a lot of money and I'll push it through and say, hey, okay, I'll just do this, and kind of symbolizes, I've given you everything. But really when it comes to kind of forgiveness in our life, it's moving through the day and saying, hey, you know what, like rather than taking $1,000 and say, I just forgive everything, I just get over it, I just move past it, it's more of like, hey, okay, maybe today someone looked at me wrong and I just kind of have to pay this off. I have to give a little token of that. I'm going to give some forgiveness away, okay? I got some forgiveness I need to give. It's little acts throughout the day that you have to learn to forgive people. It's saying, okay, I got some change in my pocket. I'm struggling to forgive. And rather than just this blanket of being just rushing over me, it's like, hey, I got to be intentional. I got to forgive here. Okay, I gotta forgive over here. And someone maybe says something to you at work and you're struggling and you're like, wow, that was rude. How do you say that? Or maybe a spouse hurt you and they said something and there's some infidelity that took place or impure acts online and you're saying, okay, I got to give a little bit more forgiveness right here, you know? And sometimes we wait until we can get that $1,000 in our pocket to be like, okay, I'm good. Like I got it over and we act like it's just a check that we can just cash. And really God's saying, hey, go take that $1,000, put it in the bank, cash out, get all these little coins out because you're going to be living your life one small step of forgiveness at a time. See, forgiveness is who we are. It's what we do. It's little act after little act because look, the world is not perfect. People are not perfect. There's some really hurts, trials, tribulations that you faced in life. But you got to say, okay, I'm not going to let that eat up me inside. I'm going to say, I'm going to forgive you one act at a time, one step at a time because it's who I am. I think so many times we get wrapped up, we let it build, and we're like, I'll wait till I arrive, I'll wait till I can get right, when really it's like we got to be walking around with a lot of change in our pocket to be like in our minds thinking, okay, I'll forgive you here, I'll forgive you here, I'll forgive you here. And we live life proactively when it comes to forgiveness. It's huge. It's essential. So many times I see people beat up, mixed up, messed up, and they're holding on to all this bitterness in life. When really they got to be activated to forgive throughout their life, forgive throughout their day. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, Jesus is speaking the Lord's Prayer and he's talking to his disciples and he says, and forgive us of our sins. He's saying, you need to pray, forgive us of our sins as we have forgiven those who sinned against us. It's this understanding that being a follower of Jesus means we proactively forgive people. Forgiveness is a part of who we are. Forgiveness doesn't mean I'm gonna let things slide, doesn't mean I'm gonna forget, doesn't mean I can't reconcile or won't be willing to reconcile or even have the relationship restored. But Jesus is telling his disciples, those who are following him, those who want to inherit the kingdom of heaven, to be essentially like this child, and this child can forgive drastically, forgive easily, walks around and says, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you. For followers, he's assuming that, hey, you got to be someone of forgiveness. You got to be someone that understands, remembers how you've been forgiven. Like we could all go through our laundry list of things we've done. You got to remember your standing with God. Secondly, you got to ask him for supernatural help because some of the hurts and pains and trials that we face, the only way you're going to get through them is with God's supernatural help in your life. No counselor is going to be able to handle that. No prayer is going to be just able to just resolve that. No systematic is going to be able to resolve that. It's going to be God's supernatural Holy Spirit in your life to say, hey, I'm going to help you get through this. And you got to remember, we are people of forgiveness. I have this statement that I want you to say with me. I'll repeat it. I'll say it and I want you to repeat it. I forgive. Because God has forgiven me. I'm a forgiver. Let's say that again. Let's say that again. I forgive because God has forgiven me. I'm a forgiver. Now let's say that as loud as we possibly can. I forgive because God has forgiven me. I'm a forgiver. Come on, church. So I'm going to close today. I'm going to talk two people groups in this place. First, maybe you're coming to this understanding that you've been forgiven by this man by the name of Jesus, his work on the cross. We received communion together. Jesus died. He broke his body. He made a promise by the shedding of his blood, and it starts there. Here in a moment, I'm going to invite the prayer team forward, and they'll be up here, and they'll love to talk with you about what it means to follow Jesus. But when you believe that he's the Lord, leader, and ruler of your life, savior of your life, I'm telling you right now, your debts are forgiven, eternity is changed, life is heading in a new direction. And that's our prayer. That's why we preach. That's why we gather. That's our hope for you. And the second group of people I want to pray over here in just a moment are those people right now, you're struggling with forgiveness. I want you to know, be a forgiver. Remember how you've been forgiven. Ask God for your supernatural help and continue to trust into him. Let's pray together. God, we give you this time. We call on your name right now for those in this place right now who are struggling with this understanding of forgiveness. Those who are going through some trials and hurts and pains and can't get past history, can't get past what's been done to them. God, we pray right now that your supernatural work, your hand, your Holy Spirit comes on their life and that you help them to forgive. God, we pray right now for those individuals who are making the decision to follow you. We give them to you, Lord, and we just say thank you for them coming in the kingdom to inherit what you have in store for them. So God, we give you today, and we give you the days to come. Continue to work inside us, work through us, and help us to change this community for your name's sake, your gospel, and your holy and great in Jesus' name. We all say, amen.
Hey, thanks for listening today. If you have any questions or would like to speak to someone concerning this message, we invite you to fill out our online communication card at faithnfm.com. And if you're able, we'd love to have you with us in person on Sundays at 9 a.m. or 10:45 a.m. or on the best night of the week for Wednesday prayer at 7 p.m. We're at 7101 Bayshore Road in North Fort Myers, just 2 miles west of I-75 at exit 143. Thanks again for listening.